Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Sacramento Dugout Podcast Show. I'm here with Ty Sullivan, Dominic Morris. I'm Dante Morris, and it's been a while, but we're here to bring back that heat. We're here to bring back some another great topics about baseball and what's going on in the area. How are everybody feeling out there?
Feeling great. Glad to be back. Baseball season just started around the corner, so we have lots to talk about.
Yep, a lot of people have been wondering where we've been. They really enjoy the show. You know, we all like to get together and do this. It's something that we love, baseball, and, you know, I guess we're here by popular demand.
Oh, yeah. And what I love about the Sac Dugout Show is, like, we could really, really go in on specific topics. Topics that all baseball fans love, you know, water cooler talk, and this platform is perfect for us to just share our opinions on very heated topics around the sport of baseball. And one topic in mind that just started the 2014 season is actually instant replay. Fans against it, fans for it. A lot of proponents, a lot of voting and years of not going through for this rule to actually change. So it took a long time, and we finally got instant replay. And let's go around the room. I want to see who's for and against it and why.
I think fans are for it only if it benefits the situation for them at that time.
True. That's true. That's definitely true. Like me, myself, I'm actually for it. I could see the benefit in the playoffs. I'm more for instant replay for the playoff standpoint, where it's crucial calls, where a call can make or break a team momentum. It could really change the outcome of a game. I'm for it in that sense. I'm against it in the sense of where it's really slowing up the game. But as far as just crucial plays and getting it right, I'm for an instant replay about getting that right, you know, the right call.
Yeah, it makes good sense. You know, in the playoffs, you want it to be right, you know, because that's what everybody has been, you know, battle for and is fighting for. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like last year, it came down to a couple of playoff games to see who's going to advance.
Yeah.
And maybe instant replay could have turned some things around, you know, for that team to be able to make it to the playoffs. So I think it's important regular season as well as in the playoffs. You know, and I was all for it at the beginning of the year. I was like, about time, let's get this thing going. There's just way, you know, with all the camera angles and as many games that are on, especially with the Major League Baseball package, extra innings, we're seeing a lot of calls that should have went the other way. So everybody's been pushing for instant replay. But the more I've been seeing it, the more I'm starting to lean against instant replay because it's not being used properly. And even when the coach is calling for a replay, the umpire goes in, does a review, and then they come out and they make the wrong call after they just got the instant replay. So obviously they're having difficulty with it.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot in the beginning of games. Like the first game we saw, I think it was a Giants game, and it was first used. And I was like, dang, that's great. It worked, you know. People actually got together. It was early in the inning. But I figure it's going to be a lot of growing pains. I know time is definitely going to be an issue. You know, like you said, coaches stalling. They got aides with their bench coaches and different people that specific job is to make sure that coaches should challenge or not. But I think it's needed. You know, I think it's needed. I think it has to be a little more tweaks in terms of getting your decision out there to whether to challenge it or not. And actually, just for the crew chief and all these umpires to get the call better, faster. But I think it's a step in the right direction, because in the long run, 162 game schedule, if you could return a couple plays, different outcomes of the games for wins for teams, that's the difference of, you know, parity in MLB, different teams moving up and down the ranks just on this rule, in my opinion.
But I think the whole intention of instant replay was kind of like the, you know, Galarraga play last year where the guy had a perfect game, you know, a guy missed a call and something like that in history that couldn't be overturned. I think that's what it was for.
I remember Ty, we was talking off air about that, though, about how umpires, they're, you know, it's a human element into the game of umpiring and a game of baseball. And that's why we love the sport so much. But how umpires will make the call and they're so sure of it and you get overturned, you know, it got to be an ego hit. And that's I don't know. I think it'll be good definitely for like that Galarraga play, but for like 99% of the other plays, it got to be a hit on the umpire's ego and then probably even second guessing their jobs.
Yeah, well, keep in mind when they started doing instant replay with the home runs 3 years ago, the first year they had debacles just like they are having right now.
Yeah.
And they're doing the home run reviews, and now they're more consistent and more accurate on the home run reviews. And the home run review process is about a minute to 90, you know, 60 seconds to 90 seconds.
Yeah.
The other problem is, you know, we already talked how coaches are coming out installing. They're waiting to see, you know, from the dugout if they should ask for a review or not. So right there is taking a couple of minutes, you know, with the so-called argument. Mm-hmm. And then the average time once the umpires get together is 3.5 to, you know, like one last night was 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's really what's going to kill the game. Because people don't watch it anymore due to the fact that it's 3 to 3.5 hours long. Only true baseball fans are going to the game to watch it
because
they don't care. The longer the game, the better as far as they're concerned.
Yeah.
But that, you know, television-wise, you don't see baseball games on your local broadcast and your national broadcast like you used to, you know, back in the day. And I think part of the reason is because it takes too long. So with this instant replay, thank goodness they only get one chance.
Yeah.
So it's only one opportunity to be 5 minutes. But, you know, both coaches, you know, 10-minute break, you know, that's fine and dandy. But get it right when you know, it's being reviewed and being looked at. Mm-hmm. And everybody on TV is going, oh, man, this is going to get reversed. This is going to get reversed. And then they come out and say, nope, they're safe. It's like, you know, people at home, people on TV are going, I thought we had instant replay. I just saw with my own eyes that he missed the tag, and he should be safe. But now you're coming out, and you know you called him out, and you know, it's just confusion. We got to get it correct. If you're going to use instant replay, somehow it needs to be correct.
Definitely. You know, it's a little struggle for them, but hopefully through this first year they get through the bumps and they can refine some things and get it all straight and working.
Yeah, Ty, you brought up a good point on the home run review. I actually forgot about that. I remember Yankee Stadium, like the Yankee games right before they put the rule in effect. It was happening. It seemed like that would be a little less frequent, though, than what we're seeing here. But one point I wanted to bring up, too, Buster Only of ESPN, he put up a proposal that MLB games should be moved down to 7 innings. Like, say that we're going this round of instant replay. It's here to stay. Would you think it would be better for the games to get expanded down to a solid 2 hours, 30 minutes, 7-inning game, more pitching from your best pitchers? I don't know. I just wanted to bring that up in terms of instant replay. If that's something here to stay, maybe it's the length of the game that's something that maybe need to move so it could be more watchable for that casual fan.
Well, if you're talking about moving the game from 9 innings to 7 innings, I think that's going to change the game dramatically. You got to think about a team's bullpen, the setup guys, the guys that go in to get the outs, the guys that just return the inning. You got to think about how pitching would change with 7 innings. You're going to have your starters, you know, not going the full game. You're going to have your starters be out at 3 innings, you know, if you're talking about that. So 7 innings, I could see how it changed pitching dramatically, and I think it'll be more an advantage of hitters, in my opinion, than in pitchers, and it'll change the game dramatically.
Rule books would be changing. What are you talking about? How many games? And I mean, I'm sure you guys have even been to games where, oh my gosh, check it out, the pitcher's throwing a perfect game. Oh, he's got a no-no, and he's in the seventh inning.
Yeah,
that game would have been over with a perfect game, or you know, a no-hitter. You know, but then all of a sudden, you know, the third of an inning in the eighth, or in the bottom two-thirds of the ninth, mm-hmm. the hit is up, and now his no-no is gone, you know. Yeah. So most pitchers these days are the, you know, the coaches want, you got to get me seven, that way I can bring my setup guy and bring my closer. So with Buster saying let's, you know, go 7 innings, that's definitely a, you know, a coach's advantage, not really a pitcher's advantage.
Yeah,
because most out of the starting five, your top three guys are going to give you 7 innings, period.
Yeah,
and that's going to be a complete game. You know, back in the day, pitchers were pitching complete games, mm-hmm. 9 innings, and doing it back to back to back, pitching 3 straight games, 9 innings, you know, coming in. So I think with the modern day athlete being so specialized in their craft,
mm-hmm.
it's really putting a limit especially in baseball, on pitching. Because with everybody getting better, you know, the hitting's getting more, you know, from from 1 to 9, you're now getting guys that can actually are contact hitters and power hitters. Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of the pitchers are coming out in around the 5th inning. But to speed the game up to go 7th inning as a traditionalist, that would kill me. But I can understand what Buster's saying. It'll save the arms. You won't have to have 13 pitchers on your roster. You can probably only carry about 8 or 9 and be able to have more utility guys, so we'll get more offense, you know, get better defense going on. You know, so there's lots of pros and cons to dropping the 7th inning. But as a purist, it has to be 9 innings with proper instant replay. That's just me.
That's a good point, good point. Speaking of teams, you know, speaking of MLB, we're about a month in. A lot of teams have been surprised, but we want to go ahead and get our official take, our official review of our top team that's going to the playoffs, and we'll go ahead and put it out there, too. We'll go ahead and name our two teams that we're going to see in the World Series. So I'll go ahead and start it off.
Let's break it down first. Before we go there, let's see the two teams in the ALS.
Okay.
You know, the ACLS, you know, the American League Championship and the National League Championship. So go ahead and who's going to be in the finals for AL and NL?
AL, I'm thinking myself, I'm an A's fan, but I'm not just a fan. I actually think they could do it this year. So they definitely going to win their division, and they're going to be in the ALCS. And I think what's going to surprise you, too, I'm going to go ahead and go with the Yankees. I'm going to have A's Yankees in there in the ALCS. I'm going to see if they both could do it. Yankees, you know, they started off struggling a little bit, but I think they'll be able to pull it together with all the new signees they have. And I think A's, Yankees, ALCS, so I think we're going to see it get done.
With only one pitcher, huh?
One pitcher, yep. So we're just going ALCS. I like the A's myself. I think they're going to come out of the West, and I think they're finally going to move past the division championship. I think we're going to see them in a real pennant race. And I think they'll be facing off, though, against the Red Sox. I know Red Sox are sitting last right now, but with that team, I think Boston's going to have another run of getting out there. So I say it's going to be AL East versus AL West, and it's going to be it's going to be A's versus Boston.
You're loyal with them Oakland A's, aren't you there, buddy?
They're going to make it. They're going to make it. Like, they're...
Hasn't he picked them, like, 3-4 years in a row?
This is their year, though. You know, they're like the, I don't know, like the Atlanta Hawks in basketball. Like, they have stellar regular season records. Absolutely. And they just can't make it over that bump. But I think this is their year.
No, I agree with you. I mean, the you know, as of late, especially if you're looking at the past 4 years, the Oakland A's are pretty much the St. Louis Cardinals of the American League, you know? So it's good to see a local team be in it. Year in and year out, because as a fan, that's what you're looking for. You know, I'm not an American League fan, so I always flip-flop back and forth. And, you know, on Twitter, I already put it out, so I can't change now for all the people that have been following me. I think it's going to be an all-Central championship. I really do. I think it's going to be Detroit and Cleveland Indians. I know Cleveland is starting off hot. I wanted to pick, you know, like I told everybody, I wanted to pick Kansas City because they have, you know, probably the best pitching staff, but they're real young, so I don't know what they would do if they made it into the playoffs. I hope they will. They were my pick last year. They did me wrong, so I'm not picking them. But I just have a feeling, you know, Cleveland is going to surprise a lot of people, but Detroit's going to come out on top. They got rid of some a lot of unnecessary players that they had that they expected to do a lot for them, and they've been mediocre. They got rid of all those guys. Their pitching staff has not changed. The only thing that scares me is, you know, having Leland gone. But with their new coach, it just seems like everybody is just hunkered down. They're playing real well. They're one of the teams that are getting abused by instant replay, and that's what caused a couple of their losses. But I think for longevity, their pitching staff is going to carry them into the championship, and you'll be seeing the Detroit Tigers in the World Series for the American League.
And for right now, it looks like it's Detroit is winning on the trade from Fielder to Kinsler. You know, Fielder number's been down, and Kinsler's been a staple in that top part of that lineup.
Fielder's been hitting about 190. And then we go ahead and bring probably the best all-around player for Texas.
Yeah.
You know, offensively, defensively, and team-wise, he's come over and just, you know, going crazy. His on-base percentage, you know, his batting average, his defensive skills, that's really made the Tigers a better team.
When I first heard about that trade, I thought Texas had a steal, though. I was like, Prince Fielder for Kinsler? I'll take Prince Fielder any day. But looking how things started, it looked like Kinsler's a better fit in that Detroit system. So time will tell. But Detroit, you know, they're leading the Central 8-6 record right now. So let's see what they'll go ahead and go. Now for the NLCS.
Yeah, so let's recap on that. So we got Dante with the New York Yankees.
Yep.
We got Dominic with the Oakland A's.
Yep.
And we got me with the hometown Detroit Tigers. Not biased, just a pitcher.
Okay.
Question. So Detroit, are you saying Detroit is winning the Central and Indians is the wild card or vice versa?
Yeah, I say it's going to be Cleveland and Detroit battling in the ALCS, so the American League Championship Series, with Detroit winning and going to the World Series.
Okay, so Detroit will come out of the Central as the winner of the division.
As the winner of the division, okay. Yeah.
Independent. Yep, and then I got the Yankees to go in. All right, so.
Now let's go to real baseball, the National League.
I like the National League. So my choices, it might not be a popular choice, but I'm going to say Dodgers, and I'm going to say Cincinnati. I think the Dodgers, you know, it's their year. You know, they got a lot of money put behind that team. It's time for them to work. And Cincinnati, they just got so much natural athletes over there in Cincinnati. So I think they got a real chance. But I'm going to say the Dodgers are going to be Cincinnati.
If they don't, then Dodgers are going to be imploded next year, boy.
Then you said Cincinnati, man? Wow. Got the Cardinals. You got the Pirates. You got the top leading Brewers. Are you saying as a wild card or?
I'm saying Cincinnati, yeah, as a wild card, but the Dodgers are going to take them. I was going to go St. Louis because you'll never bet against St. Louis, but I think it's a year St. Louis needs to get out the pitcher. I think it's time for somebody else in the NL to take over.
I have a bold prediction. All right, it's going to be a team out of the West like I did for the AL. So it's going to be Los Angeles, but they're going to be facing off against the Washington Nationals. You heard it first, the Washington Nationals. They're gonna be on a run here. You know, you have one of the best young players in the league. Everything's going to get together. I know he's a little hurt right now, but Nationals with Jason Worth and all that great pitchers they have there and that solid defense, they're going to come out of nowhere and lose to the Dodgers.
Well, I don't know about Dodgers, but once again, you know, I tweeted this out, so I'm going to have to still pick it. And, you know, I always go by pitching, you know, for sure. That's the first thing I look at is, you know, where's the best pitching at? And that's why, once again, I'm taking the St. Louis Cardinals.
Okay.
You know, their pitching has actually got better. The guys that were injured last year that didn't make the playoffs, if those guys weren't hurt, I think it would have been a different story against Boston.
Yeah.
You know, having to rely on just two guys in your rotation to get your wins, you know, nobody's going to win that way. But I did too. You know, I picked the Washington Nationals opening day to be playing the St. Louis Cardinals in the NLC West. Mm. But I do have the St. Louis Cardinals moving on. So I think it's going to be the St. Louis Cardinals and the Detroit Tigers in the World Series. But, you know, I picked the Nationals for a couple of reasons. You know, their defense, I think, is playing a lot better this year. And that's really what's going to keep their chances in it, but I think the pitching staff, their run counts, their earned run average is like cut in half already. Hmm. If they can stay right there, I really don't think I think they're probably going to be up there with probably the best record in the league. I really think the Washington Nationals, when you look at offense, defense, pitching, and their new coach, I really really think that that's the team to look out for. But when I compare Washington pitching against St. Louis, that's where I ended up.
Yeah.
You know, the starting five for St. Louis, I just think, is the best in the National League.
All right. So we're going to do a little slight recap. I went ahead and had the Dodgers versus Cincinnati.
And I had the Dodgers versus the Nationals, Dodgers on top.
I have St. Louis and National. I mean, I think a lot of people are talking Dodgers because they expected them to do good last year, but I just don't see it. I think they're going to be, you know, in the middle of the road, if not towards the bottom. I mean, you look at, you know, their first baseman, Gonzalez, over there. You look how small he's gotten. You know, he's been off. He looks puny over there. Man. You know, Kemp, I just don't think he's the type of guy that's going to be able to give you a complete season. You know, yeah. He's just very injury prone. Yasiel, phenomenal guy, but he's going to cost you at least a dozen games.
Yeah, a lot of other stuff to worry about, too, off
but,
the field as
you know,
well.
Yasiel was last year's problem. Yasiel's not this year's problem. It's the players that aren't helping Yasiel. That's the problem this year. They should have got behind that kid's back in the offseason. They shouldn't have let him left. They should have kept him in L.A. They should have worked out all year round. They should have created chemistry because their, what, billion-dollar roster ain't going to get them anywhere if you're a bunch of individuals. And I think the Dodgers are going to realize that. And, you know, Magic Johnson's just going to say, implode it. Let's start over.
I think they're definitely going to come. I think them and the Giants is going to be one of the most story battles of this season. You know, the Giants is going off well, but I don't know. I got a lot of Dodgers. I love seeing that act. It's like a Broadway act of all the characters on their team. So I love Yasiel Puig. I think he's a dynamic player. He reminds me of Oakland Bay Ruth, the little league I grew up on. He always had that one player that just played hard. He just played completely his own brand of baseball. He didn't really adjust to the MLB like the MLB is, I think, is adjusting to him. And he's like standing on his own, which I love about that.
Well, I agree. I mean, on paper, they should have won this whole thing last year, hands down.
Oh, yeah.
And they should have been in there. Unfortunately, one of the best pitching staffs in the league kind of let them down when it came to the playoffs, especially, you know, again in that St. Louis series.
Yeah.
You know, the Kershaw, he can't do it on his own.
Yeah.
And he started off this season a little bit hurt, so who knows how far Kershaw is going to be able to go. You know, I'm position by position, if you were to say, okay, who's the best first baseman? You know, at one time you could have said Gonzalez was, and you can go around the horn from outfield to infield, behind the dish, and pretty much you might be picking the Dodgers staff.
Yeah.
But there's a reason, you know, with that staff that they had the previous 2 years and this year, and what they've done and what they have accomplished is nowhere near where they should be.
That's true.
I think that gets in those young players' heads. And once they start thinking about why aren't we winning, what's going on, what do we have to do, while they continue to think like that, they're going to continue to lose. And I really think they're going to end up somewhere in the middle of the pack. That's just my feeling.
Man, it's very interesting. Speaking of the Dodgers, here recently, you know, it's Jackie Robinson Day. April 15th, you know, celebrated across the league, as well as minor league baseball. You know, all of us got the chance to experience Jack Robinson Day here locally at the Rivercast Stadium. I just want to go around the horn of, you know, what Jack Robinson Day means to you guys and, like, how it affects players today. Just for a visual standpoint, I like the fact that all MLB teams wear number 42. Always keeping a constant reminder how Rachel Robinson throws out the first pitch, usually either at a Dodgers game or at like a Washington game, somewhere central where it's America. I like what it represents from a MLB standpoint, and in terms of the image of it. Other than that, I think, in my opinion, maybe it should be some more like forums bringing in players like Hank Aaron, Willie Mays. They used to do that. It used to be like specials and stuff. It seems like lately it's just been a game, which is good. But I think where NBA and NFL kind of wins over the MLB is they really celebrate their players of the past and like put them out in front on television in a form of fans where they could be in touch. I think Jackie Robinson Day is the most historic day of all sports. So I think it should be, I know, a lot more of a, yeah, like a
more importance.
Yeah, exactly. And I think lately, it's, in my opinion, it's been kind of marginalized, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, Jackie Robinson Day, when it comes to baseball, historically is probably one of the most important days, you know, sporting wise ever, for not just, you know, opening the doors for a single group of people, but if you look right now, the type of races that are playing baseball, your Cubans, you know, your Latinos, the Asians. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has opened up everything in baseball and made the game better. But more importantly, it humbled the game a lot. You know, before it was dominated, had to be played one way, and then, you know, if you look back in the day where a gentleman came in, just one man changed how everybody played.
Yeah.
And they did not know it, you know, because they were either antagonizing him or they were totally against him. Mm-hmm. But in retrospect, the players that did that, it changed their game because they weren't playing 100% on the field. They were more concerned about somebody else being on the field.
Yeah.
But other guys that warmed up to him and realized he's helping the league at that time, helping our team, and embraced him. If it wasn't, you know, for one or two players on those Dodgers doing that, who knows what would have happened at this time.
Yeah.
But Jackie Robinson opened the door for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
In baseball. And it made baseball a better game, period.
Definitely. I think MLB needs to take a note from the NBA Foundation. I like how NBA market, you know, their importance and how they celebrate events. Jackie Robinson is like one of the most important figures in baseball, and that day should be a holiday in baseball. You know, not just wearing 42s on the back, but, you know, like Dominic said, some more forums, some more TVs, some, you know, get with ESPN, do a 30 for 30, you know, some more visual aspects, because as this event goes on and on, kids growing up is not going to know who Jackie Robinson is or what he stands for. They just might know that he's the first African-American player, but they might not know the full story. Like before Dominic wore that jersey out at the Rivercats, a lot of people didn't know Jackie Robinson played on the Negro Leagues, you know, and that's a known fact that's getting kind of disappeared. So I think keeping his name alive, if MLB would just, you know, put it out there a little bit more and express the importance, I think everybody will appreciate it, and it'll make the game better in the long run for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes exactly we've been involved with the Rivercats for, this is the fourth year now for Jackie Robinson Day, fifth year. And the first year we did it, we, you know, Don Porter was out there, but Elmer Carter was out there too. But Branch Rickey III was out there. The Rivercats put an assembly together. They had a whole area where people, if you wanted to, can come down, sit, and listen to these historians talk about their life, talk about their endeavors, talk about what they've been through, and talk about their loves and passions. And there was a video board the whole time, you know, Elmer and Don were going out to throw the pitch. It was a 20 to 30 minute event. It was a production. And then each year it's been getting less and less. And then as of this year, we walk out there, there wasn't much of anything. Next thing you know, Don's on the pitcher's mound and boom, he's throwing out the first pitch. And, you know, not very many people even realize that the first pitch was being thrown. It's just like, it's bring them out, get them over with, send them off, let's get the game on. They're not showing the importance of the event that they should.
I think, you know, if we all, you know, put it together, work real hard, then, you know, we'll make the event. And it's going to come from us, too. We'll make sure that we'll show how important this is to us, because that's how, you know, Mr. Porter, Mr. Carter actually, you know, met the people at the Rivercats by us putting on. So we'll make sure that we'll do ours, so that's how everybody could know to put these guys on the same respect level on the same day. But guys, believe it or not, you know, this has been like coming to an end to the Sack Dugout Show. You know, it's been a while. We was all in the game, and, you know, this has been a great show.
Yeah, that's right. It's been a good show. You can catch us every week right here on MorrisLeague.com and also on OneSportsNetwork.com for our latest shows. As for Todd Sullivan, Dante Morris, I'm Dominic Morris. We'll see you next time on the Sack Dugout Podcast.